Hello there, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Well, thanks very much for joining me once again. I'd like to begin today by speaking of an expression we use all the time here at Vatican Radio. It's the ad limina visit. Ad limina being, as you probably already know, a Latin term meaning to the threshold of, well, the apostles, of course. And indeed, as part of this visit, all diocesan bishops and apostolic vicars are obliged to make every 5 years is the veneration of the tombs of Saints Peter and Paul. As well as the visit to the present successor of Peter to strengthen those bonds of communion with him. You know, when these visits take place here at the radio, we enjoy the privilege of listening to the Pope's speech to each group. And when the Pope speaks in English, we never fail to listen. However, I have to admit that when the Irish bishops visited recently in October, I was away from the office, so I never got to listen. Being inquisitive, I decided to check out our wonderful sound archive, picking out some extracts from the Pope's speech to these bishops, which I'd like to share with you. Let's begin with a greeting.
Dear brother bishops, in the words of a traditional Irish greeting, 100,000 welcomes to you.
On this occasion, Pope Benedict put a huge emphasis on the history of this Emerald Isle. The constant witness, the fine work and dedication of countless generations of Irish people to their faith in Christ. But he also shone the spotlight on the situation there today.
The flame of faith has continued bravely burning at home through all the trials afflicting your people in the course of the history. At one time, Ireland was blessed with such an abundance of priestly and religious vocations that much of the world was able to benefit from the apostolic labors. In recent years, though, the number of vocations has fallen sharply. How urgent it is, then, to heed the Lord's words, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Even if Christian commitment is considered unfashionable in some circles, there's a real spiritual hunger and a generous desire to serve others among the young people of Ireland.
Benedict also mentioned another aspect of Ireland's history. One we all know about. How many times in recent years have we heard about it referred to as the Celtic Tiger, thanks to its booming economy?
The present time brings many new opportunities to bear witness to Christ and fresh challenges for the Church in Ireland. You have spoken about the consequences for society of the rise in prosperity that the last 15 years have brought.
These words of Pope Benedict to the Irish bishops serve as an introduction to the next segment of this programme, simply because in a few moments my colleague Susie Hodges will be taking us with her to Ireland, which has, as we've said, become one of the world's richest countries. But where, alongside this newfound wealth, there still exist persistent and rising levels of poverty and deprivation amongst the most marginalised in Irish society. Susie has been finding out for us about this hidden underbelly of poverty, of this great tiger, and spoke to one person there who tells us how the Church is involved in reaching out to those who slip through the welfare safety net.
Cold and hungry in Ireland this winter. This could have been a fitting description for many of Dublin's inhabitants 50 or more years ago. But surprising though it might seem, thousands of people in the Irish capital nowadays are still finding it hard to feed their families and heat their homes, despite the country's buoyant economy. Crosscare is the social care agency of the Dublin Diocese, and it says poverty in the city is becoming increasingly hidden and denied. Jack Dunphy works for Crosscare, and he spoke to me about the extent of the problem.
Well, poverty is becoming more entrenched with a low people caught on very low incomes or on unemployment state benefits. And with the booming economy, obviously these people get more and more pushed to the fringes, and they live on a subsistence level or less than subsistence. They just eke out an existence. But in overall terms, in the past 5 years, that number would have decreased in poverty measurement terms, but it's still a substantial minority of people who now seem to be permanently locked out of the economic success, if you like.
And is it true that this poverty is increasingly hidden and denied?
It probably is in denial at official level. They're always trying to get new measurements of poverty to indicate that it is being vastly decreased. But in fact, there is a significant number of people and probably increasing, I would think.
With skyrocketing fuel bills, Dunphy says many people in Dublin, especially the elderly and poor, may be struggling to keep warm this coming winter.
Just very recently, the utility companies, the gas company, has announced price rises of 35% in heating for people's homes. And this will have a huge impact on elderly people and people on low income. And the government is going to bring in some special measures to try and alleviate this hardship on heating homes. But it is a very significant problem for people. And elderly people would be turning off the heat because they would live in fear of owing money. So they would sit without without heat on during the day, and they could possibly go to bed cold and go to bed early because the heating bills are a real concern for elderly people.
But how many of Dublin's more affluent inhabitants are aware of these hidden pockets of poverty and deprivation in their midst?
The government have promoted and have favoured a low personal tax regime. And essentially, people in work are better off. And as you get better off, you tend to lose sight of those who are not benefiting from this principle of the rising tide, that your boat has risen, but there's an awful lot of people left on the strand. And as you progress and as the economy progresses and more people are employed in it, the people left behind don't get noticed anymore. And that is certainly true in Dublin. And notwithstanding that, people are charitable, but they don't really want to know because they're probably doing okay.
Although these people are poor and marginalised, Dunphy says it is inspirational to see how they respond to human kindness. And these are the main rewards of their work.
When you start engaging with people at this very human level, well, they just transform as a result of that. And that is very, very uplifting. Our staff would frequently hear, you know, you're the first person that's called me by my name today. You are only for this service here, I probably would be dead by now. And if this service wasn't here, and if I didn't see a smiling face when I come in here at 2 o'clock in the morning, I wouldn't have the will to live tomorrow. Why would I bother? When I come into you, this service is late at night, people greet me by my name and smile at me and say, nothing is a problem. What would you like? What kind of food would you like? Like to have a share first? Those kind of things are really, really important to people. In many respects, although you're working at this coalface, the rewards that people give you, sense of camaraderie between people who are excluded, can be very, very uplifting.
Been listening there to Jack Dunphy from Crosscare, the social care agency of the Dublin Diocese, speaking to Susie Hodges.
I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.